How's everybody doing today? We have a song that we want to start with. It's in your songbooks, it's 251, How Long Has It Been? And then, of course, we have it up on the screen. So, 251, How Long Has It Been? Everyone have it? 251. How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? How long has it been since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord up in heaven? How long since you knew that he'd answer you and would keep you the long night through? Since you woke with the dawn and felt that the day's worth the living, can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? Amen. Thank you. I love this song. Let us start with a word of prayer. Our dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for so many things that you do for us. We're thankful that you are our creator, you're our provider. You do so much for us on a daily basis. Even now as we're sitting and I'm standing here, you're providing for us. It's because of you that we exist and that we have our being. It's because of you that we have all the provisions that we have in our lives, Father, that you've given us opportunities to work and to earn a living, Father. You provided those. You set those into place. Father, we're so thankful for that. We're thankful that you woke us up this morning in our right minds, that we were able to decide this morning to get up and to get ready and to come here to this place to study another portion of your word, Father. Father, we ask that you be with us, that we will take advantage of this opportunity to grow. We'll take advantage of the time that you provided to us, Father, that dash in between our birth and our death, Father. Help us to be devoted to serving you and to committing our lives to you and to spreading your word throughout this world. Father, we ask this morning that you would be with those that are in leadership in different countries, Father, all over the world, not only here in America, but all over the world. Father, pray that you would give those folks the wisdom and the knowledge to make the proper decisions that will be pleasing in your sight, but also, Father, decisions that will not get in the way of us being able to worship you peacefully, Father, and to live lives that we're able to be committed to you and to serve you. Father, we ask that you continue to be with those that are in leadership in churches all over. Father, be with the elders and all the different congregations and the deacons. Pray that you be with them, be with the ministers as well, that they will do things that are pleasing and acceptable in your sight, and that they will lead your people closer and closer to you. Father, we ask that you be with those of our number that are dealing with illnesses. Father, we pray that healing might come about, but Father, that you would give them relief from the pain that they suffer on a daily basis. Father, we just thank you for your darling son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, Father, that we all might have the right to the tree of life. Father, we ask that those that are watching today and those that are here, if there's someone that has not obeyed the gospel, that they'll make today the day that they decide to follow Jesus. And Father, those that are struggling in their faith or maybe have fallen away, pray that today will be the day that they turn back to you before it is everlastingly too late. All these things we ask in your son, Jesus' name, who died for us all. Amen. Okay. So we're talking about prayer. We're talking about prayer today. And I believe the month of January is all about prayer. Prayer is something that we all have the ability to do. You don't have to be a seasoned Christian to be a prayer warrior. You can come out of the baptistry and start praying. Prayer is something that is available for all of us as God's children. Last week we talked about prayer. In the sermon we talked about prayer, about praying for those that are in authority. And we know well that those of you that have been in places of authority, that you need prayer. If you've been a parent, you know you need prayer. If you've been an elder, a deacon, a father, a mother, you need prayer. It doesn't matter what position you're in, you need prayer. And so prayer is something that we all need to do, and we need to be praying for people as well. This morning I want to talk about the power of prayer. Over in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 7, Jesus talked about prayer because he knew that people had a problem with praying for one reason or another. But let's look at Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 7 to start our study this morning. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 7. Many people call this the parable of the persistent widow. But Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, a judge, who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. And for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect, who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them?" That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Jesus knew that prayer was necessary, but he knows that sometimes when we're in distress, when we're in struggle, sometimes people do lose heart. Has anybody ever lost heart in their prayers? Some people have. But you just got to keep on praying, is what Jesus says. You got to keep on praying. He gave this example of this judge. He was an unrighteous judge. He didn't fear God. He didn't like people, but he was a judge. Why would he be a judge in the first place? But he was a judge. He was in that particular position. And Jesus said, because this lady kept coming to him, being persistent, that finally the judge says, I'm going to go ahead and do what I'm supposed to do anyway. And he compares this judge to God, who is righteous, who is just, who loves us, who cares for us. He says, if this guy recognized this widow and did his job, definitely God will respond to us in our persistence of prayer. Yes, Brother Jeremy? Oh, I thought you had Jeremy. Oh, okay, all right. I see everything, so, all right. But being persistent in prayer is something that we as Christians need to be, is persistent. The Apostle Paul frequently exhorted Christians to be diligent in their prayers. In Ephesians 6:18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplications. In Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. And of course, our favorite one, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without what? Pray without ceasing, continually pray. We need to be praying. So I want to ask you this morning, what are some examples of the power of prayer? What are some examples? Yes?
My wife's sitting next to me right now.
Okay, all right. Amen. Yep, amen. All right. Yep. Anyone else? Yes, Elizabeth?
It might be a silly example, but around the time Jeremy and I were dating, I think, he went through a phase when he was always losing his wallet. Like, over and over, he would lose his wallet. And we would look and look, and we could never find it. And then we would remember, oh, we need to pray about it. And every time we prayed, we would find it. And it happened like 5 times. It's just amazing. Every time we prayed, there it was. And one time, even, someone had found it at a gas station and then brought it to our house. That was after we were married. But that didn't happen until we had prayed about it.
Oh. Amen. Amen. Very good. Anyone else? Rashawn?
Elijah prayed
for rain. Yep. Elijah prayed for rain.
Jonah.
Whale. Yep. Jonah and the whale. Anyone else? All right. So we have some good examples of the power of prayer. Jonah and the whale. Elijah praying for rain to stop, and then to start again. And then Brother Matthew's praying for his wife, and she's sitting right next to him. And then Elizabeth praying for Jeremy to find his wallet on several occasions. That's very powerful. Lose your wallet some more, because it makes you pray. That's a good thing. But let's look at some examples that I have here as examples of the power of prayer. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 1. Looking at verses 7 through 10, if you will. 1 John chapter 1, looking at verses 7 through 10. Here in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 10, here John says, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So the beauty of prayer is that there's forgiveness from God in prayer. That's the beautiful thing. We don't have to go to somebody else to have our sins forgiven. We can ask for ourselves. Isn't that powerful? That's powerful. I mean, anywhere that we are on the globe, if we're in the air or wherever, we start going to the space station, wherever, it doesn't matter. We can pray to God, and he's going to forgive us of our sins if we confess them, as John says here. Another example is in Acts chapter 8, verse 22. Acts chapter 8, verse 22. We're all familiar with this particular incident here. But turn over to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Let's just go ahead and begin at verse 14 just to get the true picture here. In Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 14. Here Luke writes, he says, "Now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, 'Give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit.' But Peter said to him, 'May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you.'" So here you have a very specific example. Here's the apostle telling him that you need to pray for yourself. But he also said you need to repent first, but then he said you need to pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. And then you go down to verse 23 and 24, and he says, "For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity." In verse 24, "But Simon answered and said, 'Pray to the Lord for me yourselves, so that nothing of what you have said may come upon me.'" So he did ask a petition for prayers as well from others, but it wasn't the others that were going to forgive him of sin. They were just praying on his behalf. But Simon the sorcerer was able to pray to God because he was a brand new Christian. He was a brand new convert. He didn't know the rules, but the apostle instructed him right away. He didn't delay at all with correcting him. And that's another lesson there. But here we're talking about examples of the power of prayer, that there is forgiveness from God. And that's the power of prayer. Another thought about the power of prayer can be found in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Looking at the power of prayer. He says in verse 6 of Philippians 4, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So the antidote to anxiety is what? Prayer. That's how we deal with anxiety. Because we can be anxious about things. You can be anxious about standing in front of a crowd. Anybody ever got anxious about standing in front of a crowd before? Pray about it. Pray about it. You pray about it. If you're anxious about something that's going to come up, the doctor has you have an appointment, pray about it. Whatever you're anxious about, you need to pray about it. You need to pray about it. The Christian will find their hearts and minds guarded by the peace of God when we pray about it. Another power in prayer is found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 16. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14, 15, and 16. We'll also look at verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 14. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in the inner man." And also look at verse 20. He says, "Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Do you see that there? We get strength from God. We get strength from a God. If you look at verse 20, it says that to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. What are the things that you can think to ask of God? He's saying here that all the things you can imagine, God can do that much and that much more. More than you can think or imagine. God doesn't have a limit on it. There's no limit. God's ability is not limited because he's God. We think in terms of limits all the time because we're human. You can only talk so fast. You can only read so fast. You can only do this so fast. Your car can only go so fast. You can only stay up so long. We're limited, but we're dealing with an eternal God. So that's who we are praying to. And so we can be strengthened by God who has all power and authority. Number four, there is opportunity from God. The power of prayer, that there's opportunity. Paul realized that God provided him opportunity to teach others. We look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. 1 Corinthians 3, 5. Here Paul mentions here in 1 Corinthians 3, 5. He says, what then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. Then also moving on to Colossians 4:3, more specifically dealing with opportunity from God. Colossians 4:3. Here in Colossians 4:3 says, praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been in prison. This is something that we as Christians, we should be praying for opportunities to share the gospel with others. Because sometimes we talk to the same people over and over again, and they're not interested. And so we shouldn't get discouraged, but we should pray for opportunities for the gospel message. There's always somebody that you can talk to about God. There's always somebody. But think of it, if you prayed every morning, Lord, lead me to some soul today. Lead me to somebody that needs to hear the gospel message. Just share it as much as you possibly can and ask God for more and more opportunities for the gospel. Amen. We need to be praying that same prayer that Paul was requesting of the Colossians, to have that opportunity from God. Another is boldness. We look over at Acts chapter 4, verse 23 through 31. Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 23. Here in Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 23, it says, and when they had been released, they went to their own companies or companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is thou who didst make the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, thy servant did say, why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city there were gathered together against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever thy hand and thy purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats, and grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with all what? Confidence or boldness, while thou dost extend thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of thy holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Don't we need boldness today? Anybody need boldness today? Anybody going to go out and try to teach a class today? Anybody here? You need to pray for boldness. You need to pray for boldness to be able to just go and talk to people. Have that discussion with somebody in line at Albertsons or Safeway. Have that conversation with people. Ask them, how is their relationship with God? We talk to people about everything else. We talk to them about football, baseball, all of those things. Add Jesus into that discussion. Add him in there, because that's an opportunity. But we need to be bold. Sometimes we need boldness. We've just decided that we're not bold. We just decided that it's hard to tell people about Jesus, because we've already said it's okay to talk about everything else. So why not talk to them about Jesus? Don't you want those people to go to heaven as well? That's right next to you. Your friends, your family members, those people in line, wherever you are, if you're waiting there at a restaurant this afternoon, the hostess, the people that are there, most of those people have gone to church. And most of those people would like to talk about Jesus. Maybe you might be able to talk to them about Jesus more specifically. Maybe they just were going to church for the first time. But we need to pray for boldness is what I'm talking about this morning. The power of prayer is that it can bring about boldness in us to speak the things that we ought to speak. The things that we ought to speak to people is about Jesus. It's okay to talk about baseball and football and all those things. Those things are great. Those are awesome. That's a lot of fun. But we need to tell people about the most important message, and that is the gospel message. And so we need to pray for boldness, as did the folks of the first century. They prayed for boldness. Let's look over at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. It says, he says, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We need boldness. Here is an apostle saying that he needs boldness. This man has the ability to heal people. He has the ability to speak in tongues. But yet and still, he's asking the people to pray for him that he might have boldness to speak. I like the way that the writer, how they translated it in verse 19. He says, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth. You know, when we're scared to speak, it's like our mouths don't want to move. Have you ever been there before when you know you needed to tell somebody something, but you just couldn't open your mouth? Or maybe you could open your mouth, but the words wouldn't come out. But here the writer is asking for prayers that his mouth be open and that he speak the things of God. He says to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. The gospel. People need the gospel. We need to give them the dynamite. We need to give them the power. The power is in the word of God. The power is in the word of God. If we can give them that excitement that we have when there's a touchdown and we jump up and down and we're excited, if we can deliver the gospel that way to people, even we can say it gently, but we just need to give them the word of God. We need to have that boldness. We need to pray for boldness. We can make that request of God. God can do that for us today even. Another power in prayer is something that we're all familiar with, is wisdom. Look over at James chapter 1, if you will. James chapter 1, looking at verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. Here he begins at verse 5 in James chapter 1. He says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And so we need to ask God for wisdom. We need wisdom, don't we? We can't have enough wisdom, can we? I always want wisdom. I want to get better. I always want to get better. I don't want to be mediocre or average. We want to get better. As we look at Ephesians, we can ask God for as much as we want. Everything in accordance to his will. We can just keep asking. And God's going to give it to us. But when we're asking for something, we need to ask in how? With faith. Believing that God can and will do what we're asking of him. You've got to have that faith. The next is, there is healing from God. We look at James chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. Here he says in James chapter 5, beginning at verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. So there you have it, healing. People coming and praying for us is very good. Those who are sick should ask elders to pray for them. Those who have sinned should confess, and we should pray for one another. Don't you want the aid of God whenever in need of physical or spiritual healing? It's God that created us, isn't he? Isn't it God that provides for us? It's God that's in charge of our bodies. He's the one that says when it's time for us to go or to stay. It's very apparent and obvious when somebody dies, it was time for them to go. Sometimes people say, we could have done this, that, and the other. I say, no, it was their appointed time. Because if it wasn't their appointed time, they would still be here. But God is in charge. Amen. There are sometimes some people that we pray for that are sick so long that the people that come to visit them that have been healthy, they outlive those people. Have you ever seen that before? I've witnessed that before many times in the church and in life in general. Sometimes you're just praying for somebody, but God just says, he just allows that person to be sick, but they keep on living. We want them to get better, but God is in charge, and he makes that decision whether to heal that person or not. Our final one today is there is tranquility from God. The scriptures proclaim God has ultimate control over the nations. I want to go back to the Old Testament, back to Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. Here it says, in Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, this sentence is by the decree of the angelic watchers, and the decision is a command of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whom he wishes and sets over it the lowliest of men. God is in charge. God is in charge, isn't he? He's the one that's in charge. Also look over at Romans 13, 1 through 7 here. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, 1 through 7. Here he says, let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from who? From God. And those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. And they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause for fear of good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger, who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. Wherefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom taxes due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Very important there. Tranquility is from God. We need to be praying for those that are in authority. But those that are in authority, God has put those people in place to do certain things. And they're servants of God. And so we have obligation to them as well. Another passage is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. In dealing with tranquility. 1 Timothy chapter 2, looking at verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Here he writes in 1 Timothy 2, beginning at verse 1. He says, first of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we need to be praying for those that are in power, those that are in authority. We need to have a prayer life for them as well. So the power of prayer can be a blessing to the one who prays in faith and for those for whom prayers are offered. There is help in time of need from God. We have a wonderful high priest who understands our problems. Talking about Jesus Christ. We can look over to the Hebrew writer. We look at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. where he addresses the one that knows how we feel. Ephesians chapter, or Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. He says here, since then, it's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. He says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Amen. So we can draw near because he knows what it's like to be tempted. When we're struggling with different things in our lives, we know that we need to start praying. We know that Jesus went through these different challenges. He can sympathize with us. He can sympathize with us. And so we need to be praying. So we have a wonderful high priest who understands our problems. Thus, we can at any time approach God boldly in prayer to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4, verse 16. He says, let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. That is beautiful, isn't it? That's beautiful. So when you're having problems, we need to do what? When you have anxiety, what should you do? Boldly go to the throne. We should pray. We should pray. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. The New King James says avails much. The New American Standard says can accomplish much. The ESV says has great power, talking about prayer of a righteous person. The NIV says is powerful and effective. If such is true of one righteous person, how about the prayers of many righteous? What are we praying about as a congregation? What are we praying about? What are we unified in praying about? We should definitely be praying for those in an authority. We should definitely be praying for the growth of the church here, praying for the leadership here, praying for the members here, praying for the folks that we don't see on Sundays that should be here, finding out how we can have the opportunity to go and talk to them and ask them, where are you? I've not seen you next to me in the pew. There's extra seats up front for you. There's seats over here. There's seats next to me. We can put seats down the aisle. I've seen it done before. And we can fill this place up. But these are the things that we should be praying about. We should be praying about the lost souls that are here in Vallejo and Fairfield and roundabouts. We should be praying for other congregations as well. We should be praying for so many different things, brothers and sisters. But we definitely need to pray, amen? We need to be praying. So do we believe in the power of prayer? If we believe in the power of prayer, then let us pray always. Let us pray always. And let's end with 1 Thessalonians 5:17. That we pray without ceasing. Thank you.